was mentioned, we got the sign-up sheets out there for those to be involved with. Numerous different sections to be able to volunteer your help for, so I'm sure we can find something that you could be involved in. Take a look around and notice got a lot of people that are sick. Colds, flus, different things, and so pray for them and pray that they could be back with us. Take a look around and you'll see some of your young people are missing from inside here. They're out in the vestibule or entryways, narthex, at the doors, different places. This is December and time where our youth help out in more things than they normally do. And so we're excited about that. And we had a fine opening this morning by Colton. And so we look forward to the help there. And then also, as been mentioned, just make you aware and remind you, we got a couple concerts this week. Tom mentioned that in his prayer, I believe. But so Wednesday night is Jeff Bush, Art Bush, Tracy Tooley, and Stephen Foster, 6:30. And then we've got the school handbell and choir, winter choir concert as well. And I know they've all been working on that real hard, directed by Mrs. Wellman there. And so that'll be Thursday at 7 o'clock. So plenty of things to share in, to be a part of, as long as you're healthy. And so pray for healthiness. All right. All right, let's get going on our lesson here this morning. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And as we look through Scripture and we first get to know the Apostle Peter, we first see him as a gentleman that is bold, and sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. And so we might label that when it's like that, if we're not sure if the boldness is good or bad, we like to just call that impulsive. Okay, so Peter was very impulsive. And in this, though, of putting himself out there, we look at it as sometimes strengths, but sometimes it's also a weakness. That's a weakness, and we see Peter had struggles. He had trouble with that, especially there at first. But as we all know, that when we come in contact with Jesus and we allow for it to work on our lives will change. And this same guy that would, chop off a guy's ear at the drop of a hat, you know, ready to fight, is also the same one that presented the first gospel sermon along with the other 11 disciples. He's the one that has, as we'll look here into one of his epistles that he wrote, as an elder, is trying to do the two things that, if we remember, that Jesus had asked him to do. Number one, Jesus had asked Peter to strengthen and encourage those around him. And if you remember the very last thing that we read in the book of John, when Jesus is talking to Peter, he tells Peter to feed my flock. Feed my sheep. And so Peter, the once impetuous gentleman that might say something off the cuff, is now leading people to faithfulness, and as he writes these two epistles, he will address some things that I find it interesting that Peter was doing those, and maybe you had thought of those before, but we're going to share them this morning. So there's four things we want to look at here this morning in these writings that Peter had given to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and so I've got one question that that I want to ask before. Have you tasted of the goodness of the Lord? The New American Standard says, have you tasted of the kindness of the Lord? We had in our songs that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And then there was other songs that we had sung that talk about that goodness. And Peter wants to remind us that before we can get to that goodness, there's other things in our life we have to cut out and pull away from and push back and stay away from. So let's consider our text here today. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. We've already established here this morning, as I asked the question, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and many of you had said yes. And so here are some things that we need to do then in our life, as the Apostle Peter shares with us. The first one, as he starts off here, it's just a reminder to us, it's a familiar struggle. A familiar struggle. Jews, and especially those from the region of Galilee, such as Peter, were known as not necessarily the most kind-hearted people, but could be a little bold and brash, but even maybe to the point of being rude. And so as we look at this, we find it interesting that Peter is talking about this struggle, writing to the churches, and what he's doing here is he is writing to the general church area. So basically, all the different places that Paul had went during his missionary journeys, Peter's kind of like writing a letter to them now, because Paul wasn't an elder. Peter was. And so Peter is shepherding the flock as the Lord had asked him to do. And so Peter, in his two letters, does just that, and he starts off and addresses things that are familiar with him, and he looks out at people, knowing that some of these are Jews that he is talking to, but all coming from some other, a denominational background, and now being a part of the church, have things that they need to put away from themselves. It's interesting that if you look up in the lexicons, and I said lexicons, not leprechauns, okay? Lexicons, when it talks about this word malice, it starts off by saying, put away all malice. It talks about a moral inferiority, being inferior. Even to the point of wishing ill will upon people, and even carrying out and being, trying to think how it said it, to being destructive. And so this was not just a thought that's taking place. This is action that has been being carried out. And Paul or Peter says here right away that we need to put aside all malice. And then he lists off other things there that we need to step away from. Now we're coming off of the Thanksgiving season. And we're headed into now what we call the Christmas season. And I even already heard people talking, looking forward to the new year, that because of the upcoming Christmas season, they're going to have to start a new diet program in the new year. So they're really forward thinking, right? And so we look at these different seasons, but what I share, the Thanksgiving portion and the Christmas time, is we're going to start having an opportunity to consume things that we like, maybe we indulge in, maybe we overindulge in, and that's kind of what this idea that he's sharing with us with this familiar struggle is, that being a part of the world, being a part of what he's pointing at, the Jewish understanding. You knew what you were going to get when you were going to deal with a Jew. Those things should not be seen in the attitude of a Christian. And I do like how Paul points that out and is a reminder to us, and hopefully to many people today who believe that the Jews and Israel are the chosen people and the chosen place of the earth. And Peter's saying, no, don't be a Jew, be a Christian. And he says there's no such attitude of this being impulsive, of being having ill will towards people, or malignity towards people, or showing malice of wanting to show destruction. That attitude should not be known among the Christians. And that's what Peter is saying here, is that should be a part of your former life, the way things used to be. And so again, to get back to our illustration of the indulgence and maybe overindulgence, we say, you know, it's time to push back from the table. In other words, I better stop, I better slow down, better quit the... What Peter is trying to get across to us this morning is, church, wherever you used to be, whatever you used to do, whatever attitudes you had that were unbecoming of a Christian, it's time for us all, if not we should have done it already, to push back from the table. To not have these things be a part of our life. But Peter starts off by reminding all of us, as is a good thing to do, that I understand where you're coming from. I have the same struggle. And I think as we all look at this, we can all say the same things. That hopefully, as Peter changed from one person to another, so too we, as Christians, having become Christians, people having become Christians at the time of our baptism, there's been a change that has taken place. We all had that familiar struggle at the beginning, but now we're supposed to be in the attitude and the mindset of Jesus Christ as being guided by the Holy Spirit in our life. So that's what leads to his next point that he wants to talk about, is that of a former life. In other words, now that you're a Christian, we can say, because Scripture does, that really we've said goodbye, or we've crucified the old man of sin. We have no longer now living that old life, those familiar struggles. Our former life is to be put behind us, because as a Christian, we have a new life. Paul tells us, and I do mean Paul in this, Paul tells us that we are a new creature in Christ. Ephesians, Paul writes for us, Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that in reference to your former manner of life, you have laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self, which is the likeness of God, has been in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. And so what he is reminding us here is that we have to put on, the old man is to be no more, and to be the new man in Christ. It says that this idea of being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. In other words, he's trying to remind us that just as a Christian, we are to grow, and we're going to look at that as at the end of the message, that we are to grow. There are things as a Christian that we need to be, as we said, pushing back from the table from. This is what he's saying here, that there should be not a progression in our life, But when it comes to the bad things, there should be a regression. It should be getting smaller and smaller. But Paul says in this passage of Scripture, the problem is it becomes worse and worse over time. If you don't do what Peter said and put it away, we can't just let it dangle out there because then it's going to come back on us. It's the old man, you're to put it away and to grab a hold of the new man. As we know, this new man comes about at our time of our baptism, where the old man is laid to rest, and we arise to walk in the newness of life. Not for things to get worse and worse, but for things to be as they should be when we become more like our Savior. So Peter's reminding us, hey, I've had the former struggle. I've been there too. We've had the former life, but we need to be different. People that knew us when we were not Christians should hardly recognize us now that we are Christians. In action, in maybe even visual reception, but there ought to be some sort of change that takes place that the world knows about. Peter goes on to say that if it doesn't happen, that's a sign that we're still walking in the flesh. Or as we've labeled it this morning, so of all our points start with the letter F, that we're fleshly walking. Okay, that we're fleshly walking. That those are things that we have not given up. If you have become a Christian and there's nothing in your life that you needed to change, you think, then what was the need for repentance? Because we all need to repent. All of us, with our sin, put Christ on the cross. But if we all stop and think about it, we all get what we need. Not we all get what we want. We all get what we need. We can get, as adults, a certain kind of nutrition from a well-cooked, I didn't say well-done, I should say properly cooked porterhouse steak. There's some nutritional value there, amen? However, along the same lines, if you've got a little dog, a puppy at home, you're not going to feed it the old, you know, the aged dog food. You're going to feed it the puppy chow, the stuff that's built for its digestive system and things of that nature for it to get its proper nutrition. Peter talks about it, and so does Paul, in our comparison of our life to that of a newborn baby. And just as you wouldn't give that newborn baby that porterhouse steak, medium rare to medium cooked, right? Oh, I can almost taste it. As we look at that, you wouldn't give that to a baby. You'd give them what they need. Now, certain times of our life, we need the T-bone steak or the porterhouse. There are times of our life, what Peter and Paul both say, that we do need the milk. And they come in a proper order. Peter talks about that as being newborn babes, that we need that pure milk of the Word. I being one that just loves milk, right? I like milk. And even if it's especially got the strawberry flavor added to it, right, Tom? There we go. So if it's got It's got milk. And is there nutritional value in milk? Absolutely. However, there becomes a point where you start to learn that that steak's pretty good too. Now, as we look at that, Paul and Peter both try to remind us, this is where you start, but you certainly don't hang out there forever. Okay, I enjoyed a nice glass of milk this morning before we came here. I hope to have something a little more substantial when we get home. I hope. And so as we look at that, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 3:2-3, I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able. And so he's kind of telling them, okay, you needed milk. He's not saying that's a bad thing, but he's saying because you weren't ready for solid food, so even yet, you're still not ready. He's kind of letting them know, you need to be moving on. You know, it's nice to hear about the Jonah and the whale stories and the David and Goliath stories and stuff like that. But then there's deep things that Paul, Peter, James, other apostles in the New Testament talk about that help to put that into action, as Colton shared with us this morning. Verse 3, for you are still fleshly. For since there is a jealousy and a strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? And so what Paul is reminding them here, going along and coinciding with what Peter had said, is you ought to be growing up. Is there somebody that you don't get along with? Are you still fleshly? He's saying, is there jealousy among you? Is there strife? Then he's saying, you're not spiritual. You're not being spiritual. You are fleshly minded. You are hanging on to the things that the world is chasing after instead of the things that the Spirit wants for us to be involved in. And he says, are you not walking like mere men? In other words, you're walking fleshly. You're thinking of things of the world. And that gets to be sometimes a very fine line of trying to carry worldly concepts over into the church, and especially in like leadership positions. Well, in the working world, they do it this way, and I understand that. And sometimes that's successful. But God tells us, here's how I want the church to work. And so we may see it as a good design or good concept, maybe even glean from that, but don't veer from what God says. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Because just as we start off with the milk, we hope to move on to the porterhouse. Or your little puppy starts with the puppy chow, and you work them on to something a little more meaty or whatever you feed a dog. If we try to take a newborn Christian and shove that porterhouse of the word down their throat, they're going to choke. And so Paul and Peter both tell us, start with the milk, but move on. Don't get stuck there. As good as it may be, as tasty as that strawberry milk is, I've got something that's better for you. That's got more nutritional value, that is worth more in the long run. But too many times we may take, and this is where it comes to the leadership in the church, equipping the saints, that as Rick made reference this morning, maybe in this family class, there are several remedial things that are going to be concepts thrown back out here to us. And it's a reminder to us that, you know what? With that porterhouse, that strawberry milk tastes pretty good with it. Sometimes you need the meat, sometimes you need the milk, sometimes you need them both together. But the whole idea then is for us to grow. That is where it leads us to our fourth point here this morning is food for growth. Food for growth. We need more than milk. Why? Because we must grow. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." Now, we can say the other one, we're not sure if he was really coming down on him saying you need them. But the Hebrew writer here is definitely saying you were wrong for still just sipping on the milk. Talking about the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, you can't take it. It'll make you sick because you haven't trained yourself properly. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. That's why we get into discussions and somebody may come to one of the elders or myself or even to another Christian and they'll say, "Well, I just don't think this is right." That's because they're still sipping on milk. They haven't trained themselves in the word of righteousness and they're not eating the solid food yet. And so we need to get beyond that. And so let us help you get to that point where you can chew on that nice steak. For he is an infant, it says. Generally, another thing we don't do. Right? If you decide you're going to make some reservations at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and you know you're going to be, you know, there's the $50 plus steaks on the menu, you generally don't take the four-year-old along with you and let them order whatever they want off the menu. Right? Why is that? Because there's things they're not ready for, right? And if you think that they're ready for it, then I'm available to go with you that same day too, okay? Whatever day that is, okay? But so as we look at this for the infant, some things they're just not ready for. And we talked about choking down even new Christians with concepts and ideas. Not saying that we should totally stay away from them, but you don't force them down their gullet either. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And ultimately, that's what Peter wants. Ultimately, that's what Paul wants. Ultimately, that's what the Lord wants, is for us to take it in, to grow on it. Start with the milk of the word, move ourselves up to the mature meat of the word so that we as Christians, and here's the problem today, all of us as Christians sometimes struggle with being able to discern the good and the evil. Rick covered this morning in a small roundabout way the fall in the garden. Why was that? They didn't discern good and evil. And that's even what God told them to do. He is telling us still to do that today. Food for growth. Not to stay where we're at, but to grow, to be strengthened. So that we can do the same thing that Peter did. Peter went in his life being someone impulsive, speaking out of turn, saying things he shouldn't say, doing things he shouldn't do, to being a controlled Christian that acts and is guided by the Spirit of the Lord and moves having the ideas and the thoughts and the concepts that Jesus Christ wants for us to have like him in his life. Peter's saying, I understand your struggle. I've been there. It's familiar to me. But it's supposed to be of the former things of this life. Stay away from the flesh. Push back from the table. Step away from those things that are keep pulling us in to the world and to the ways of the devil and Satan. And look for food that helps us to grow. To grow in a proper way. To grow where we can handle it. To grow where we become productive. To grow in a fashion in which is pleasing and helpful to the Lord and his church. That's what Peter's saying. Here's the guy I used to be. Here's the guy I am now. All you, church, what Peter's saying is be the second guy. God has given us an opportunity to turn our lives around, turn our lives over to him. And that starts by following the plan of salvation, by looking to who Jesus is, believing in him, the Son of God, that we need to be mold our life after him, repent of our sin that put him on the cross, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and live faithfully for him each and every day. Peter says you have the opportunity to change. It should have happened as you came out of the watery grave, but he reminds the church of that day, and I'll remind the church of today, that maybe we haven't made all the changes that we need to make, but as long as we've been given breath for today, we have an opportunity to start. An opportunity to start putting the world away, putting aside all malice, that moral inferiority, and be what Jesus Christ wants for us to be. They're going to lead us in a song of invitation this morning, so if you'll stand as they get ready to lead us.
We're going to sing, God is so good.